stocks, bonds, ETFs, straight out of downtown Chicago. This is Zach's Market Edge.
Welcome to Zach's Market Edge, the podcast about investing in your life. I'm your host, Tracy Reinick, and this week I'm joined by two of Zach's summer interns, Jeffrey Hyman, who goes to the University of Illinois, and Ben Raines, who goes to DePaul. And they also happen to be millennials, given their age. And today they're going to help me chat about the brands that they use, where they shop, where they eat out, what do they think about some of the controversies around some of the brands like Uber, because what they think about these things will impact all our investing choices going forward. If you don't know, the millennials are one of the largest generations in U.S. history. The oldest millennials are actually about 35 now. So this view of like, oh, they're so young and they're just starting out isn't really true of the older millennials now. But this generation does span between those born in 1982, that's the 35-year-olds, up to about 2000. So the youngest ones are just about to go into college, well, end of high school, into college, and then we're going to get Generation Z. So Jeff and Ben are among the younger sides of this, but they still have the views on what these brands are like. And, you know, their views will be shaped by their age, of course, and their circumstances, being still in school and all of that. But again, if you're investing over the next couple decades, 20 years, this generation is really going to influence what kind of stocks you might want to buy, because what products they're going to be buying will influence these companies. So welcome, guys. It's good to have you here.
Thanks. Thanks for having us.
Good to be here.
Yeah. And this is their first podcast, so got to cut them some slack here. It's always good to have newbies joining us on there. So we were talking kind of before we decided to do this segment about like what brands are kind of interesting right now that you all may or may not be using, because you may not care. I don't know. But one of the big ones I want to talk about is Uber, because they've been in the news a lot recently with their problems with the CEO resigning, and Lyft has made some inroads into the business model now. And I wanted to know, do you use Uber? Do you care about all the controversies that are going on? Did you switch over to Lyft? Does any of that matter? Ben, let's start with you.
I do use Uber. I am a regular Uber user, and I do not use Lyft at all. It might be purely out of sort of laziness that I don't even have Lyft on my phone, but Uber was the first for me on the ride-sharing side. So I've stuck with Uber even through the controversy, and I don't really know many of my friends who got on the bandwagon of jumping off Uber when all of this CEO and problems were going on with that.
Now, a lot of people are saying that Uber could be a replacement for cars kind of thing before we get the driverless cars, which may be coming. Do you see that? Do you own a car? Would you be like, forget the car? I mean, we're here in Chicago and you go to school in Chicago.
I do not own a car, so I can see Uber being a car replacement. It is relatively a car replacement for me, and I walk most places. I live in the Lincoln Park area, so I can walk to the grocery store or anything like that, but I can see Uber being a replacement in the long run for people owning cars, especially in cities where there's so much traffic, and if you don't need to have a car, you don't have to pay for the registration and all of this, and all the things that go along with owning a car. So I can see Uber maybe making inroads in that, especially for younger people.
Okay. What about you, Jeffrey? Do you use Uber or Lyft or any of these services?
I use Uber pretty often, to be completely honest. I'm also a huge fan of it. I feel like it's extremely convenient just because of the fact anybody can go on their iPhone or Android on the mobile app and order a car within 5 minutes, and it will be at your location to pick you up. And when I go to school at U of I, Lyft doesn't operate in the area. It's only Uber. So there's no option for me to go use Lyft when there was all the trouble with the CEO of Uber. It was Uber constantly. That's what the entire campus uses, because not everybody has a car, including myself. So
it is popular down there. That was a question I had.
Absolutely.
So on the campus, if you don't want to trudge across from your dorm to class, you would just call an Uber and drive over there.
Correct. And there's no option for Lyft, and there's no taxis at the university either. You can't flag down a taxi. It's Uber or the buses, which aren't operating at night.
So. Is it easy to get drivers? Like, is it easy to get one?
You should get one within 5 minutes.
Wow.
I've never had any trouble with it. That's why I think it's extremely convenient.
Okay. So what do you all think about the other kind of ride sharing? I'm thinking of like Zipcars. They have those here in Chicago. Have you ever used one of those? That's where you literally go and the car is at the end of the block and you can rent it for an hour or 2 hours or the day. Do you know anyone that's used the Zipcars or services like that?
I do. Actually, my aunt and uncle who live in Oak Park, Illinois, so just in the suburbs, got rid of their car because they downsized, moved to a condo by the L, so they don't see a need for a car. So they use Zipcar, but I don't know anyone younger that uses Zipcar because I feel like if you're going to use it to get groceries or something like that, you could take an Uber, get there, get your groceries, and then get another Uber on the way back instead of driving yourself, especially if you don't know the city or anything like that. So I don't know that many young people who have used Zipcar.
Okay. So what if Uber were to raise its rates? Like, say they dominate the world, basically. This has been the talk a lot with Uber, and taxis go away in the big cities, and suddenly you have to pay more to use Uber. Is it as attractive then, or are you addicted to it and you're just going to use it?
I'd say I am relatively addicted to Uber. I don't use taxis at all, but if it ever gets way too expensive, there could be someone that could easily come in and do exactly what Uber's doing. I mean, Lyft is doing exactly what they're doing. The drivers get paid a different rate. I actually think the Lyft drivers make a little bit more, but there's less people using Lyft. So in the long run, they're making less overall, but they make more per ride.
I've seen a lot of instances where the Uber drivers are also Lyft drivers. Mm-hmm. So they cover all the, at least in Chicago, they cover all the bases.
They flip between the apps and see who has the most people to pick up and what the rates are at that time.
Now, would you, any of you be willing to use Uber in a foreign country? Like if you went, you know, to London or wherever, would you just as easily summon the Ubers there?
Well, considering that in other countries you have to drive on the other side of the road and the rules are completely different, yes I would be interested in using Uber in other countries.
Now, if Uber goes IPO, we didn't discuss any of your, you know, stock interests. If you even own any stocks, you're still in school, so you may not. But if they were to go IPO, would you be interested in owning Uber stock? What about
I
you?
Think it's an option just because of the growth potential. Obviously, their main competitor is Lyft, but if they can operate worldwide and they're able to do that because it's run through an app and because you just have to be a regular citizen or a regular person to be an Uber driver, I think there's a huge growth opportunity if that went to be an IPO. So yes, I would consider investing in it.
Okay.
I would definitely consider investing in it. And I was actually just in Europe for 3 weeks, and I can say I did use Uber in multiple countries.
How
in
was
Europe.
It? And tell us.
The experience is exactly the same. So I used it in Amsterdam multiple times because, as one of our Uber drivers told us, that it's the most expensive cab city in all of Europe.
Okay.
Like a 7-minute ride from the airport to one of the places we were staying was like 30 euros, which is insanely expensive for a 7-minute cab ride. So I would say that Uber is doing really well, and especially with young people. We talked to a lot of young people while we were over there, and Uber is slowly gaining traction in continental Europe for sure.
Okay. That's good insight. Let's switch over to the food area, and I wanted to talk about Chipotle. Am I saying that right? I got yelled at for saying it wrong.
Correct.
Is that right? They're all nodding. Okay. So whoever's making fun of me on Twitter, I'm trying to get it right. But they've had their problems too. And they had that scare over 2 years ago. I had to go Google it and look back, like, how long ago was that? It was 2015, actually, when they had to shut down some of the stores. And then they reconfigured how they did the food preparations. And then they gave out freebies to get people to come back. Let's start with you, Jeffrey. Do you go to Chipotle? And then did you go there after the PR issues? And are you still going there now? Do you care about the PR issues?
I happen to love Chipotle. It happens to be one of my favorite places. So immediately after the scare and how they were preparing food, I knew a lot of people actually who stopped going immediately after. I did not happen to be one of them. I love the food, so I happened to keep going. But as a side note, I had a friend who actually worked for Chipotle, and immediately after all that happened, they closed her store for a couple of days and had all the employees come in and have a meeting and get together. And I thought that was really honorable. So in the end, I think the corporation's really great. I love the food there. I think the service is great. I think the business model is excellent. where you get to go along and choose exactly what you want in your burrito and so on. I love the food, so I kept going there over time.
So do you think they will make a comeback here? They were doing double-digit sales growth before this in 2015, and they haven't done it since. But sounds like you're loyal, so...
Yeah, and I know a lot of other people that are loyal like me who do love the food there. So yes, I would project that.
Okay. What about you, Ben?
Yeah, I am a big Chipotle eater and proponent of their business. I really don't know anyone that's my age or my friends or even my mother and father who don't love Chipotle. I'd say my parents, they're not big cookers. They probably eat there a couple times a week.
Wow.
The E. coli scare. Anything. I mean, it's isolated incidents that happens. I think their business is great. And I went to undergrad at Indiana University, and there would be lines out the door pretty much every day of the week. And at DePaul, downtown in their campus, that Chipotle is out the door sometimes. So, I mean, I see young people eating Chipotle, and I don't see it really stopping anytime soon.
All right. What about the stock? Would you want to buy it?
It seems like the stock doesn't really reflect what I see in the business. So maybe buy it now and it could keep going up. But I would probably, I guess, stay away from it for now, because it seems like what I'm seeing when I go to Chipotle isn't reflected in how poorly they're currently doing. So,
okay. What about you, Jeffrey? Would you be interested in the stock?
I might wait a little bit as of right now, as we're talking about, but yeah, I'd be interested. It's a product that I happen to love, and I know a lot of other people that love it, so that's why I would be encouraged to buy it.
Okay. Do any of you own stocks? I should just ask that. I mean, I know you're in school.
Not currently, no. Okay. One day, possibly looking to getting into it, though.
Oh, yeah, sure. So you're nodding, Ben. You don't own any either.
I do not.
Okay.
Not at the moment.
I didn't own any when I was in school either, so you're not alone. So that's good to know. At least you have some ideas for, you know, going forward if, you know, you intend to. What about, do you know anything about the trading apps? I think I brought this up when we had a meeting about this. And I just saw some articles where, you know, college students were trading on their buses and in their dorms, like on their way to class, because the apps make it so easy. But do you know anyone who's doing that or no?
I know some people that use Robinhood. I know some people that subscribe to other services. A lot of people I know in college don't like to pay to trade. So really, the only people I know who trade stock are on Robinhood just because they don't want to pay a service fee. But I've heard Robinhood's really popular. I've actually been interested in learning more about it.
Okay. What about you, Ben?
Yeah, I would say the only service I know of young people using, like you're talking about in a situation where they're just on their phone, is Robinhood. But I don't know a lot of people that are in college that are, they might be paying attention to it, but I don't think it's a big thing to actively trade stocks, even with the apps. But I guess they're in their early days, so maybe it'll become bigger for young people.
If the stock market really takes off, I think you'd be surprised, because in 1999, people had Bloomberg terminals in their dorm rooms because we didn't have the apps back then, but they were like day trading in there. But that's when it gets real euphoric and crazy.
Yeah, I think when Snap went IPO, everyone on Robinhood was buying Snapchat, but I don't.
So you do buy what you know.
Yeah, I guess people I'm 19 and I use Snapchat, so everyone must be using it, and sort of that's how it goes. But
is that the only one you've ever heard of everybody buying?
I don't know. I think that was just because they were sort of becoming big at the same time that Snap went IPO, that sort of took off like that.
Okay. Do you think that's like a fluke thing and then they owned it for like a week and sold it? Yes,
in a way, just for the IPO, yeah. Okay. Again, like you said, I don't know a ton of people that day trade or trade in general at my age, but Snap was popular when it went IPO.
Okay. Let's turn to another topic, which is the shopping mall, because all I hear is these doom and gloom stories of, you know, millennials, they don't want to go to the shopping mall. They never go anywhere. They never want to go there. They just order everything on Amazon. It comes to their house or apartment. It's doomed. Forget all retail. It's all Amazon. What do you think about that? Do you go to the shopping mall?
I don't really go to the shopping mall in the sense that there's not really shopping malls anywhere near where I live.
You're in Chicago, right?
Okay. Yeah, I'm in Chicago. So there's not really shopping malls where I live. The only shopping malls that I actually do go to are, so maybe one time in the summer and one time in the winter, I'll go to like outlet malls to get some clothes on the discount, like J. Crew Factory or something like that. But I don't really know many people that actively go to shopping malls, because most people I know live in the city and there just really aren't anywhere to go.
Do you go to the brick and mortar stores then in the city?
Yeah, I'll go to brick and mortar stores. I like physically going into stores and trying clothes on for whatever reason. Whenever I do order something online and then it doesn't fit, I just don't like the hassle of the back and forth of returning it, getting it back.
I'm with you. Yeah.
So I like trying it on, know it fits, walk out of the store.
If you do order online, do you like to order from the stores that you know you can take it back to the physical store? So say you order J. Crew online, that one of their policies is you can just return it to the store. You're nodding, because that's what I like to do. Like if I don't have the option of returning to the store, I kind of don't like it.
Yeah, like you said, because you don't want to deal with the hassle of then having to call somebody up on the phone saying I'm delivering this back, and then you have to get it back in the mail, and then what if it doesn't fit again, and it's a whole ordeal. So yeah, definitely being able to return it in the physical store if they have one is a good thing.
Okay, so this actually brings up another point then, because Amazon is starting this new clothes service. I forget the name of it now, where you order the clothes, it comes to you. If you don't, you can keep whatever you like. If you don't like it, then you can go to the UPS and just ship it back. All of this is free. But I thought that was annoying. Like when they announced this news, I'm like, meh, I don't really want to deal with going to the UPS, or even if they come over to my house and pick it up or whatever. Ew, that just seems like more of a pain. Like I'll just go to the Gap and buy whatever I need. Like I don't really see how Amazon's going to make inroads here. But again, they keep saying, oh, the millennials like to shop like this, but it doesn't seem like it. What about you, Jeffrey? Do you go to physical stores, or how do you shop?
So I live actually very close to Woodfield Mall in Schaumburg, which happens to be one of the largest shopping malls in America. Yeah. The only problem, you're asking me this, I'm not a fan of shopping myself, so that's a problem. However, I do know a lot of people that love to shop, and even if they love to shop, they happen to be too busy to go to the shopping mall. So that leads to them ordering clothes, shoes, whatever it may be, online. It's just so convenient. You can sit down in your bed and on a laptop and just order whatever you like instead of going in. However, I will point out, I feel as though there are a lot of shops within shopping malls, whether we're talking about Nordstrom's, JCPenney's, anything like that. There are products that are very nice and maybe happen to be more expensive, but you might not be able to find the nicer products online or exactly what you're looking for. So I feel like shopping malls and these retail stores will always have some sort of value. I just feel as though with Amazon and all the methods there are to order online and how convenient it's become, I think the growth potential for these shopping malls and the stores that are in these shopping malls, I think it's gone down over the years.
Okay. But it sounds like because you do live near Woodfield Mall, which is, like you said, it's one of the hugest malls if nobody's ever been there. It's has the big anchors. It's got like four or five stories. It's got the restaurants in there. It's a pretty big destination place. I mean, right. When I go there, I'm going there for like 4 or 5 hours to walk around. So it sounds like maybe those could survive, those kind of destination ones. But the further out shopping malls, like I was telling someone, I was in the Charlestown Mall shopping mall, which is way out there near St. Charles, Illinois, and it literally has 2 stores now and a movie theater, but that's it. The rest of it's abandoned now. Mm. I don't even know how it's staying open. It has a Carson's and a Von Maur in there, but Carson's is in some troubles now too. So that seems to me like that might die off, but these other ones that actually have just more things to drive you there, I think people still, I mean, Woodfield Mall is not suffering right now.
It's not suffering, and that's great because it is a great destination with just all the variety they have there. I just have seen that a lot of people I know who do love to shop, I'm not one of them again, but it's just become so convenient to order online.
Right.
I think any growth opportunities that have been exhibited with shopping malls, I think it has decreased, and that can be unfortunate because there are very nice things you can get at these stores that you might not be able to get online.
Do you think that all brick and mortar is going to go away?
I wouldn't say it's all going to go away. I think that's a little unreasonable. But again, I just think how convenient it is to order anything you want. Literally name something and you can find it online to order. I think it's just been made so convenient that I think shopping malls have seen a decrease in popularity.
What about you, Ben? Do you think they're all going to die?
Yeah, I don't think brick and mortar is ever just going to disappear. I mean, unless we live in some weird dystopian future where people are sitting in pods and just having things delivered to them. But
with no contact with the outside world.
I think
the drone drops it off and then you open it.
Exactly. I mean, I think they're going to slowly Like, they're not going to be huge, making huge shopping malls now. Like, they're not going to build in 2017 some mega shopping mall in some suburb, because I just don't imagine it doing well. Yeah. But brick and mortar is never going to die out. People like to go shopping. It's something to do, especially for affluent people, is to go shopping on a Saturday, and you don't go shopping on the internet. I mean, people buy things for convenience on the internet, but people still are going to want to shop and go walk around stores, or even just window shop and just do something like that.
Okay, this sounds promising, because I'm a big believer in that shopping is an emotional experience, and you do it for a reason, not necessarily to just get items that you need, but
definitely,
you are going with
definitely. I mean, my sister is a huge Amazon Prime person and buys a bunch of stuff on Amazon all the time, but she also loves to go shopping, and same with my girlfriend. So
okay,
it's, I think there's going to be a good mixture, but definitely big shopping malls, I think they've seen their day come and go.
What about Prime? Do both of you use it? Do you have your own accounts? Do you use like a family account? How does that work now?
I happen to use Amazon Prime. Okay. I actually am able to get that through the University of Illinois through my student email. So that's very convenient, obviously.
Do you pay for that, or it's free
service?
It's given
to me.
Oh, wow.
It's
neat.
Really amazing.
Okay.
I would encourage buying it anyway if you're not able to. I think it is very convenient, and I think you do get a good service out of it. Again, Amazon, whether it's, obviously there's clothes. We were just talking about shopping malls. Whether it's clothes, books, anything you might need, where I'm in college, it's just so convenient to find on Amazon. You can have it very quickly, obviously.
Yeah.
Prime.
What do you think about that Whole Foods deal? Would you buy your food off of Amazon? Would you have it delivered? If you have an apartment down there, would you get everything delivered to you?
So again, maximizing on conveniency. I think that's great. Personally, I happen to be a nut with food, and I like to go shopping for food. I like to see what's out there, but I think there are a lot of people who might consider having their food just delivered to them. Again, it just becomes so convenient that it can become a habit to just have your food waiting for you at home, instead of, because I know a lot of people that hate to go grocery shopping. I'm not one of them. I like to look for different types of food and different types of things to eat, but a lot of people don't share that opinion with me.
What about you, Ben? There's a Whole Foods on the DePaul campus, basically, or right off of it. Would you just have it delivered over to you?
No, I definitely wouldn't have Whole Foods delivered, because I'm not a big Whole Foods guy. I think it's a little overpriced, and a little, they just throw organic on every single thing they sell, even though that could just be a fake claim that no one's checking. But I see people doing it. I mean, I know my aunt does, Peapod, that sort of was the originator of the like home
still
delivery.
Out there,
yeah,
Peapod.
So I see Amazon Prime and them delivering food, and Whole Foods being able to maybe eventually have this delivery with Amazon as being viable. But I agree that some people do like to go to the store, but also some people want the convenience of having it delivered. And if you're on the go all the time and don't want to deal with the shopping in the stores, I see it being a viable option.
Now, what about the stock of Amazon? Would you be interested in buying it? When you are buying stocks, is that one that you would have on your list? Or is it like for the old fogies, because it's like 20 years old now?
I don't know. I would say you could buy it, but I mean, I don't think you're ever going to get the bang for your buck that you would have been able to if you bought it a long time ago. So,
okay.
I mean, maybe.
So this intimidates you a little bit that
it's had
the big run.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be hard for it to do what it has already done. I mean, it's already so massive at this point, but who knows? They're buying up everything and doing more and more and more, so it seems like they could maybe the sky is the limit, maybe it just keeps going up, but who knows.
Okay, what about you, Jeffrey?
Well, like Ben mentioned, I wish I'd bought it a long time ago, to be honest with you.
We all do,
right? I believe the stock does exhibit a lot of growth opportunities, obviously with what they're trying to do with drones and deliveries. It can just be 10 times quicker. I don't think it's going to have the increase that we've seen over the past 5 or so years. I mean, it's astronomical at this point. I don't think that's going to happen again, but this is a stock that still exhibits growth opportunities.
Okay, I have one more quick question about the campus life. Are there any kind of fast food burger chains or any kind of chain other than Chipotle that is really hot amongst the students? Like, you have to go and eat at XYZ, you know, whether or not, I don't think they don't have Shake Shacks down there yet, but like a Smashburger or even a Domino's, or is there something where everybody's ordering from and it's super hot?
I'd have to say that there are a lot of chains at the University of Illinois. You just mentioned Domino's. Yeah. That's huge there. Obviously, there's Chipotle we talked about. There's McDonald's. There's really, and this goes back to the shopping mall idea, although it's not a mall. There's one street at the University of Illinois that has all of these food chains. And that street happens to be very popular. In fact, Chipotle, okay. Chipotle's on it. So,
is that where the Potbellies is too?
Yes, it is. So. Correct. Okay. So this street just happens to have, it has a Pizza Hut, yeah. It has anything you could possibly name. So I think all of those chains are very popular. Everybody goes to the same place to eat a lot of times. So,
what about you, Ben? Yeah, You're kind of in the city here, yeah, so DePaul is maybe
I'd say
not.
Jimmy John's, Potbelly, Blaze Pizza, sort of the Chipotle style pizza where you get to pick all of your toppings and they cook it 90 seconds or something like that. But I also know more people that do sort of the Uber Eats or like food delivery services where you get sort of, you can pick anything, any restaurant out you want and they deliver it to your house. I don't really do that so much because there's so many places to walk that are close by, but I know a lot of people that do that.
What about Grubhub? Do you use that as students? You're nodding, Jeffrey. Yes.
Yeah, I personally don't happen to use it that much, but I do know a lot of people that use it. Again, I happen to not be with the popular opinion a lot of times, but that's a really, again, sort of like Uber. It's very, very convenient. You can have someone pick up your food for you. That is a really popular app around college.
So anything deliverable seems like that's the way to go for at least younger people.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just goes back to Uber as well, though, that they basically created a whole economy that never existed before. I remember standing at a street corner. It was a Thursday night even, so not a crazy night to go out. I mean, I guess it could be, but and it was like 11 o'clock and we were at this corner that's not busy and standing there waiting for my Uber for, I don't know, 7 minutes or so. And every single car, this is not a joke, every car for 7 minutes that came to the corner was an Uber car.
Wow.
Like, it's just crazy. So I was wondering,
who doesn't
like,
work
who,
for them?
Before Uber, what were these people doing? Or
we waited for cabs.
It's just crazy.
Or we took the bus.
but that just was like an eye-opening moment of, wow.
Yes,
like,
for sure.
Just a random night. Every car you've seen in the last 7 minutes was an Uber driver.
Yeah. Okay. Well, these are revolutionary things that are going on. And as I said, I feel like your generation, the millennials, are kind of paving the way. That's why as an investor, I want to know what you guys are using, what's popular, what brands stick out to you, because that's where I want to put my money in, because those are the companies that are really going to be hitting it in the next couple of years. So I'm going to keep an eye out on that Uber IPO if they ever do it. Nobody knows if they will, but if they do, I'm going to keep an eye on that. So just a couple of the tickers that we did mention today, Grubhub, which we just talked about, GRUB, Snap. Apparently everyone was buying that. We don't know if they still own it. SNAP. We talked about Amazon, of course, AMZN, and Whole Foods, which will soon go away, but it's WFM. And Chipotle is CMG. Uber doesn't have a ticker yet. I'm assuming they will be UBER, but we're going to have to wait a while for that one. So this is a good little millennial discussion. Thanks, guys, for joining us on your very first podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
It was good. And if you want to listen to any more of our podcasts, of course, you can find them on SoundCloud and we're on iTunes, or as it's now called, Apple Podcasts. So check it out over there. And as always, I'll see you again next time.